was laying here this morning.
Was it?
Yeah.
Commissioner Huron.
Okay, let's get rolling now. All right, good afternoon, everyone. This is Commissioner Brian Hall, meeting for an informal today. The first one's on two separate cases. Case number PU08797 Sequoia Energy USA Inc. And the second is PU14-31, same company, Sequoia Energy USA and /Border Wind. So it's actually two separate case numbers, but the informal is listed for both of them together. So I don't have any opening comments other than just to welcome everyone and see if my colleagues have any comments, and then we'll go around the table, take appearances, and then we'll turn it over to the company. So, Mr. Crispin, you have anything?
I also do not have any opening comments. Ready to get started?
No, let's get started.
Okay, we're joined by Jerry Lee from staff and the director. Make sure the green is turned on, myself included here. Holy cow.
Dante Tomasoni, I'm a Stinson Leonard Street on behalf of Border Winds Energy LLC, and I have one witness today, Brad Lila. Brad, could you please just for the record spell your last name?
Oh, hang tight for a second, Dante.
Could you spell your last name, please?
Absolutely. There you go. My last name, Tomassoni.
Okay. All right. Okay, basically.
You must be Norwegian.
Yeah.
Just a little bit, huh?
I love listening to the different.
You will now be placed into the conference.
You like the way we turn that around on him, though?
Right. <Good. laughs>
Before you get rolling, Dante, will you agree to submit all this as your testimony, your record testimony today for the informal?
Yes.
Okay, and we'll accept that. All right, now, go ahead, sir.
Great. Brad, for the record, could you please just state your name, spell your last name for the record, by whom you're employed, and what capacity?
Brad Lila. My last name spelling is Lila, and I'm employed by RES Americas. I'm the director of development, and we're the owner of Border Winds Energy LLC.
Okay, and Border Winds. In case 14-31, Border Winds is seeking to get a transfer of the site certificate from Sequoia. Is that correct?
Yes.
And Border Winds will be taking over operation of the subject site in the case, correct?
Yes.
And since the commission is unfamiliar with Border Winds, could you please give the commission just a kind of a description of Border Winds, how it relates to RES and how it relates to Sequoia, please?
So Border Winds Energy is just an LLC that we formed who has taken ownership of the project from Sequoia Energy. It's owned entirely by RES Americas Developments.
And Brad, did you bring any documents with you today to help with your testimony before the commission?
Yes, I have a PowerPoint presentation.
Okay, and quickly before we get started, could you please describe for the commission the amendment sought by Border Winds?
We're seeking amendment to the certificate of site compatibility that you had. So a transfer of ownership for the project to Border Winds Energy.
And that approval was May 5th, 2011, is that correct?
Yes.
And has your amended plan been approved by the county, Rolette County?
Yes, we received the conditional use permit from Rolette County and also the required building permits.
Okay, that being said, unless the commission has any questions, Brad has a PowerPoint to help with explanation.
I just have a quick question, and it may be for staff more than you, but the one that I was here for May 5th of 2011 when we issued the original permit. That's good for 4 years. So does that time get extended when you transferred over, or do you have to have this complete, this started within 4 years of that time, and is that going to be a problem, the construction? Because the certificate's not valid after 4 years, is my understanding. We're getting close to that, quite honestly.
Will you get started?
Yeah, we it's our intention to break ground as soon as things dry up, so we're thinking the end of May or June.
Okay, so you wouldn't envision any problems with the 4 years from May 5th, 2011?
May 5th, 2011, so...
May 5th, 2015.
May 50.
Yeah.
I think then if they start construction within the 4 years, that it's good.
Okay, I just wanted to ask that question because I didn't know you guys knew how tight we were. If this if this would get delayed another year or two, you could find yourself in having to come back and do a whole other hearing.
Well, we like coming to see you.
Yeah. Okay, I just want to make sure we got that on our informal record.
Yeah.
All right, thank you all.
Thank
very much.
Okay, I'll just hopefully be able to navigate my way through here. Okay, so basically the project is in Rolette County, and it's just on the eastern side of Rolette County. The eastern border is just on the edge of Towner County. As you know, it was originally developed by Sequoia Energy. We've been involved with the project since roughly around August or September or so, and we've continued the development of the project with Sequoia, with a development service agreement with them. And the intention is to, as I indicated, we're going to break ground this spring. We're going to do, hopefully, with your approval, we'll do foundations and access roads. We'll start standing up turbines next June when they arrive, and we will. It's our intention to have a commercial operation date mid-October of 2015. At that point, we have an agreement in place to sell the project to XL Energy, doing business as Northern State Power. A little background on RES, so you know who. You know that we have the ability to take this project from the beginning to end. Our parent company is actually based in London. We're a construction-based company, which is the Sir Robert McAlpine Group. We built Wembley Stadium over there. We just built the Olympic Village. We're operating on approximately
Please
six different
continents
right now.
Please enter your collaboration code followed by the pound key.
The states and provinces that you see in green are those areas that we have done wind projects. We don't just develop projects for ourselves. We also build projects for other companies as well. We have office in Minneapolis, Austin, Texas, Portland, and then in Canada. And it says there we've developed approximately 5,200 megawatts of wind projects. I think we're probably closer to 6,000 megawatts right now. So this is a pretty busy map, but perhaps I can explain it a bit. Would you allow me to go to the board, or would you just assume
just bring the
just
mic.
Don't touch
you.
It because it's a smart board and it'll do funny things if you actually touch the board.
All right, I'll just take this with me. So basically, what you see here. So these are the turbine locations. These yellow boxes are U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service waterfall management areas easements. I'm sorry. The area in green, these are the corridors that we had environmental studies, cultural resource, wetland delineations, et cetera. Those are the corridors that we studied. And the reason that we studied those is that's because where the transmission lines, the collection lines are buried, and also where some of the access roads enter the turbine. So the access roads are in black. The collection lines you see are in kind of a pink magenta color there. And you just got your township and county roads. Okay, now this slide here, I think what's important with this one is you had approved a design for Sequoia of I believe it was 66 turbines, so approximately 151 megawatts, because they had a deal in place at the time, a theoretical deal with XL Energy. Now the turbines that Sequoia was using were 2.3 megawatt Siemens. Now we have changed the design to use a 2 megawatt Vestas machine. The reason we went with the Vestas is because it's just considerably more efficient. The Siemens turbine was, I think if I recall, was around a 44% net capacity factor, whereas the Vestas is going to be approximately 48% net capacity factor. So XL, when Aeonus, is going to have a much more efficient project than what you had permitted before.
Did you say 48%?
Yeah, it's in the ballpark of 48%, yes. It's a pretty good site. So the turbines you see, the green turbines, basically those are locations that have not changed. Okay, the black in the brown, our area is where the turbine location has changed. But as you see on there, they've changed slightly. And if you notice, where they typically change is they move away from the different. So in this case, you got a township road. We just basically move them away from a lot of the setbacks. Okay, that's why they've moved for the most part. RES has stricter standards than probably almost any other developer in the United States. We use an internal standard of setbacks from occupied dwellings of 1,650 feet, whereas most developers usually use about a 1,000-foot standard. Again, we've been developing wind projects probably longer than any other developer in the world, so we've take our lessons learned and use these more conservative setbacks. I think the closest turbine that we have to an occupied dwelling in this project is 1,668 feet. That's where we're at. So,
what was the standard amount you try to use?
1,650 feet. Okay. 500 meters. We did add, because we had to go with a smaller turbine, we had to add additional turbines to reach 150 megawatt threshold. Those you can see are in purple. All those turbines are within the original project footprint that you had permitted, and that footprint is outlined in purple. We took a lot of care to make sure that they were set back from dwellings. And. And again, if I guess they don't show them on here, but there are not a lot of dwellings within this project footprint at all. So, did you have any questions on this slide at all? I know these last two slides are pretty busy, but
do you have a slide that shows dwellings?
I don't have one with me. No, not right now.
Can we get one?
But I take that back. I do. Well, one other point is. The substation that you had permitted before was approximately right here. It's 2 miles off 105th Street. We moved that substation to the north. The reason we did that is it reduces the amount of collection lines to reach a substation, and therefore you're just going to have less impact as well. And we're actually trying to even eliminate some of that right now by changing a couple of different collection lines just to eliminate some additional runs. So we think we can eliminate probably a mile and a half to 2 miles of collection lines with a little bit of a design change.
If you're going to cover this later, let me know. But the questions that come to mind for me right off the bat was, I remember the hearing and a lot of discussion from the FAA about where those turbines might end up at. And it took the company at that time a long time to sort out what the FAA would approve. And so my question is, by changing these locations, the state historic, the SHPO letters, the Fish and Wildlife letters, the FAA letters. I mean, it would seem to me that you'd have to run that by those guys again.
Yeah, no, it's a good question actually. So the Rolla Airport is right here. An issue that Sequoia ran into, and then we in turn followed up, was that there used to be more turbines right in this area, right, to include several of the alternate turbine locations. We've actually pushed back from that even further.
My question though is, do you have to go back to the FAA to get changes, to them approve the changes to this?
Yeah, we've already done that.
Okay, so if you can provide the letters from all those agencies that they're happy with this, that would answer a lot of my questions.
Yeah, we've already received a determination of no hazard from the FAA. Now, we've made a couple of changes in the meantime, and we just resubmitted it with the FAA, but we don't anticipate any issues at all because the changes that we made were up in this area. Like we hit an artesian well up here, so we had to move that one a little bit. So we don't anticipate that there's going to be any type of FAA issues at all.
The Historical Society issues and the Fish and Wildlife Service came to these hearings too.
To which hearings?
The initial Fish and Wildlife Service had a letter that they came.
Oh yes, yeah. We've been working very closely with Fish and Wildlife Service, and the reason being is, especially with these waterfall management easements, yep, here. So what we've received a letter from them that basically we met with them. We gave them all our designs in every way that we are affecting those easements. They've signed off that they're fine with the design. And we're actually only impacting three of the easements that they have there.
Let me ask Jerry then, how do we, since this isn't informal today, how do we encapsulate getting all the letters from these agencies to you so then we can have a complete record before we'd make a decision on this thing?
I guess I'd ask the company, first of all, we do have quite a few letters and stuff.
You should have all of them to this point. Okay. You should have, we discussed SHPO and...
We have the SHPO letter and Army Corps of Engineers letter. I don't see a Fish and Wildlife, though. I don't know if the Army Corps of Engineers addresses that. They talk a lot about the wetlands impacts.
Yeah, you're correct. We didn't get you that. I will send you that letter.
And then you talk about, all the towers that were moved to address the airport issue. I didn't see it, at least in my materials, the letter from the FAA either.
Yeah, we resubmitted it. Yeah.
So you'll send us the final letter from them?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And we should get an answer on that actually fairly soon, within the next 2 weeks, I think.
And we are getting an updated letter from the Historical Society overnighted today. So that should be here tomorrow.
What's it update? Because they already did send one.
The language on there said the report was acceptable.
Yeah, I noticed that.
And so I asked them about that, and they needed another letter that there's no significant impacts.
Okay, good.
These can be, we don't have an official hearing record here.
Right.
And so I think that we can just bring these things in here as they're filed, and they'll be part of whatever record we're using.
Yeah, I agree with that, Jerry. I just want to make sure we're not missing something that we scrub the same like we would normal in a formal hearing. That we have A, B, C, D, E, and we don't miss any things.
Yeah, we'll make sure you have everything.
But that's all that comes to mind from the initial hearing that we had. There was very, very few concerns addressed. Just those were the ones, and they would turn out to be pretty big. So if you've got those taken care of, for me, that's a great step.
Yeah, we, it's a great site. Right? It's got great wind. It's very little bad habitat, no eagle nests within a project footprint. The community involvement, I can hit on that as well here. That might even be my next slide. I touched that thing, didn't I?
It was under observation.
Ever since we've been involved with this project, we've tried to get in front of the community as much as possible. We've had a couple of landowner dinners since September. We just had one a week or so ago. It went over very well. We've been in contact with each and every one of the landowners, discussed the access roads. We moved access roads around to accommodate their requests, and in every single request we've accommodated so far.
When you say landowners, are you talking about landowners upon which you're going to put a tower, or landowners within this whole footprint?
Both. We've met with all the landowners where you're going to have any type of facilities on them. So if you're going to have a tower on it, if you're going to have a collection line running through it, an access road. But then we also, like last week, we had a community dinner that we hosted with the Rolla Job Development Authority, where we invited everybody. They put it in a newspaper, and I believe they even had it on a radio. So we had a dinner for them at the local American Legion, and answered any questions. Anybody could come to it, and it was a good meeting. We had people like the school superintendent who had questions about the taxes and naturally job-related issues.
Yeah, well, school superintendents are almost always for these because it's some more revenue.
Oh, yeah.
They don't usually live out there. But what about the people that are there any protesters out there who maybe you don't need because they're not getting a tower, but especially the one that's 1,668 feet away from one? Is there anybody out there that's objecting to this?
I have not heard a single person object to this in any type of meeting or otherwise. I was telling Jerry a while back, the only person I ever heard make a negative comment was a 90-year-old woman whose kids were all involved in a project and were all in favor of the project. She just didn't want to see the landscape change at all. But in the end, she was fine with it and moved forward, and she actually had to sign some of the amendments to move her kids' property forward. So that's the only objection I've ever heard from anybody. Matter of fact, I've been in these projects all over the United States, and this project has more community support than any I've ever been involved with.
What is the final number of turbines and megawatts you're going to be asking for?
75 turbines, 150 megawatts.
So it'll say the same megawatts, just more turbines. Okay.
Yes, sir.
You don't deal with the interconnection to the grid?
We do, yes.
How's that coming?
That's a complex process. You know, there are five different entities along the way, as I'm sure you're all aware, how transmission works. So we're going to be affecting substations down the line with five different entities. So we're having, studies done on all of them. It's moving along fairly well. If there's anything that slowed this project down, it is transmission. But the costs are coming in much better than we thought they would.
So you said construction complete. You did say 2015 for completed construction.
Yes, sir.
Why so long? I mean, if the approval comes back in, let's just say, a month from now, most of these wind farms, they get built pretty quick once they get the approval.
Yeah.
What's the holdup for you guys?
They do. Well, we really couldn't. A couple issues. Weather's a big part of it. You're talking about 75 turbines. You really couldn't get going until June, and you're not even so certain that we can start in June because of road limits, especially as cold a winter as this.
What's the logistics of getting the turbines up there? There's no necessarily railhead there, and the trucks, you got to haul them out of somewhere.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah. And and it's also the agreement that we have with the turbine manufacturer. It's we're not going to take ownership of the turbines until.
But you would start some kind of work this summer if it worked out to satisfy the 4-year criteria for work, though, correct?
I'm sorry.
You would do something this summer if approved?
Absolutely.
Okay, and then Jerry, that's back to the point. I want to make sure I'm clear on that. The 4-year concern of starting construction, what's the threshold for that to be met? Making a road?
Usually, we've called turning dirt as starting construction.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, and we're not just turning dirt either. We're going to do all the access roads and foundations in 2014.
Okay.
Where do the turbines come from?
They're from Vestas. Vestas plant is in Denver.
Okay. Jared, do you have any questions that we haven't hit on?
One, is that 1668 feet, is that a participating landowner? Or non-participating?
I'm not certain.
Okay, so if we could find that out, that'd be good.
Yeah. I just know we're a lot further away than the most companies.
Yeah, what I'm wondering is if that's, what's the closest distance to a non-participating landowner?
Yeah, okay. I'll get you that answer.
Commissioner Fedorchak, did you have some questions?
I do have a few. Okay, could you tell me when you decided to change the locations and eliminate some and add some new ones, what was the process with the landowners and the nearby landowners?
Well, we met with them individually and again went through turbine location. And as you saw, most of those hardly moved at all.
Right.
It was a matter of 30, 40, 50 feet or so. Mm-hmm. One of the other reasons, too, that we did move those because of potential environmental issues, uh-huh. Potentially, like three of them were in considered wetland areas. So we had to move them out of the wetland areas. Some of them, it was maybe to move them up on a ridge a little bit more or something to improve the NCF. So we did. We met with all the landowners and walked through that entire process to include. And the biggest part with the landowners, it usually isn't so much the location of the turbines, the location of the access road.
Right. So of the, I think there's 12 new turbine locations, was that correct?
That's correct.
Of those 12 new locations, how many of them involved new landowners that weren't in the first round?
None.
Oh, okay. So it really was just all the same folks. Okay. All righty. And did it impact any nearby landowners, new nearby landowners?
No, it's
none of the changes.
We're well within the setback requirements.
Right. Okay. Let's see here. Mm-hmm. OK, okay. Can you walk through? I don't know that we have them. I think, or maybe you did provide. Yeah, it looks like you maybe did provide this shadow, the new noise and shadow flicker study.
Yes. Matter of fact, I've got slides for that.
Okay.
I might as well hit on this real quick.
Sure.
Here.
And if you want to keep going, you sure can, and we can just ask our questions okay. as you go. We kind of interrupted you.
Oh no, that's fine. I appreciate that actually. You know, so I had mentioned we already have a conditional use permit and building permits through Rolette County. By the way, nobody showed up at that meeting in opposition at all. So, road use agreement, we're real close to finishing that up with the county. We've been turning red lines back and forth, and I don't see an issue there at all. Matter of fact, the county is going to be pretty pleased because when we get done with this, their roads are going to be in much better shape than when we started. So. Mm-hmm. We're going to be building a lot of additional roads and improving a lot of county roads. So Jerry had mentioned about the historical society letter. The next bullet point is the Turtle Mountain Band support letter. We met with the tribe a couple weeks ago, 2 weeks ago or so, and we're going to hire them to do an ethnographic study, and we're also hiring them to have monitors on site during excavation, which they're pleased with, and we've got a really good relationship with them, so I don't think there's going to be any issues there at all. The next bullet point, the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers approval. What should be noted there was the project that you permitted with Sequoia had seven, if not eight, U.S. Army Corps jurisdictional waterway crossings, where, you know, basically though they're larger water crossings. We've eliminated all those within the project. We're not going to impact those. We're not going to have to mitigate any wetlands or anything. So we went out of our way to make sure we don't have a lot of environmental damage on a site. The Fish and Wildlife Service, so when we purchased the project from Sequoia, they'd worked with Fish and Wildlife. They had given them certain recommendations that they wanted them to follow through with. We've taken those recommendations and put together a bird and bat conservation strategy at their request. We work closely with Xcel Energy. I think that's important to note here. Since Xcel is going to be the project owner, they're the ones who are going to have to live with the strategy that we put in place with Fish and Wildlife, so naturally they were pretty involved. And so we're going to have post-construction monitoring, which Xcel has approved. And we submitted that to Fish and Wildlife, and everything seemed to be going fine. They haven't responded to it, so evidently must work for them. So.
Can you help clarify something in my mind? So you're requesting the trick to get this transferred to you.
Yes,
then Xcel is a project owner. So we're going to be back here again, and then you're going to transfer it to Xcel? I know that there are other things we've talked about the Xcel case, but I'm missing the transfer to them. How does that work?
Well, they would purchase, it would be an asset purchase, so they would purchase Border Winds Energy LLC entirely. So we wouldn't, you know, we wouldn't necessarily transfer it over to them. It would just be an asset purchase.
So that has nothing to do with our jurisdiction here.
You know, I'm not.
We already approved that.
You know,
we approved it in our settlement agreement.
We would have to transfer their certificates again to Xcel Energy at the time that they take ownership.
I think Xcel could just make an application.
The site certificates.
Okay. But there's still one more step. Like Julie said, it's been approved in our rate case, but there's still one more step if this goes through to get it to Xcel.
And okay. Xcel needs a PCNN.
We gave them ADP in our rate case.
Yeah, but we were silent on the PCNN.
Right.
Okay. All right, thank you.
That's right.
So this is the shadow flicker model. What I think is important to note about shadow flicker is since we use a 1650 setback, never on any of our projects have we ever had to worry about shadow flicker at all. We do this. A lot of times we don't even do these studies because our setbacks are considerably further away. But nonetheless, we did this one. We hired Gerard Hassan, who's one of the leading engineering firms in the nation when it comes to wind analysis and shadow, et cetera. So I think what's important to note here, and by the way, these are the dwellings here. You're asking about the map. Okay, so here, here, here. The closest dwelling that there is to the turbine is right in here. And the shadow flicker for these properties right here is going to be 24 hours a year total.
Just is that the yellow? Are those the shadow flicker?
Or what's... Yeah, so...
Oops.
Sorry.
Go.
Yeah, so the sorry.
So this key here is the brown on the outside is between 30 to 50 hours a year. This is, I believe, 60 to 80, the yellow, and as you get closer, it's considerably more. So the one of that is most of interest to you is the 30 to 50 hours per year. And again, these are outside of that. This dwelling right here is going to receive about 24 hours per year, considering with cloud cover. What's important to know about shadow flicker studies is that is assuming that a turbine is spinning 100% of the time. Mm-hmm. And with a project like this, you're on 48% of the time. So even with it spinning 100% of the time, it's going to be about 24 hours a year.
We've had the same discussion with other cases, but I've never asked the question this way. 24 hours a year, yeah, that doesn't sound like very much. Right. But if it's 3 or 4 hours a day for a couple days in a row, that's a lot. So what's the most that it could be in a day that it would have that impact on someone?
I've got an answer for you here. I just read it this morning. So the worst case scenario... total of 58 minutes for the worst case in this...
For a day.
Hmm.
So that would be... you would assume then that's a point when the sun gets to a certain point and 58 minutes of continuous flicker.
Yep. And again, the turbine has to be spinning at that time as well. One thing to note about those homes right there is they are... entirely covered by trees. I don't think they'll get any shadow flicker at all. Mm. So they get very big trees around there. So. Otherwise, you can see they, most of the homes aren't affected at all.
And the noise? What about the noise study?
The noise? Okay, so here's the sound modeling results. Okay. I'll go up to the key again.
So your state statutes identify a 100-foot buffer around homes. That's what the purple is. The decibel levels are, it's going to be 50 at the circles per your state statute. I believe that is 40. Can't read it. It's blurred out. Yep. This is 40 right here. Yep. So the dBA level that affects a property the most in this entire project is going to be 42.2 decibels dBA.
Is that one again, the closest over there?
I think it's... I've got it in a report. When I get back there, I can point that out. But it's either here or else I think it could be this one right here. Okay. No.
And but is that whenever it's running then? 42?
Yeah, 42.2. State standard is 50 dBA, so we're well underneath that.
Just so we don't perpetuate that, there is no state standard.
Thank you for calling. You have a wonderful day.
But its distance is not noise.
Yeah, at 100 feet, 50 dB.
Okay, at 100 feet. All right, fair enough.
At 100 feet, yeah.
Those people have seen that report or had access to it?
I don't believe we ever shared that report with them, no. We can if you like.
It's 42, 42 dBA is so low, we're very comfortable with that.
I mean, is this the kind of thing that you shared at the public meetings?
No, we didn't. We didn't share this at the public meetings. We brought it up at. Well, I take that back. You know, we've brought it up at the conditional use permit hearing, but at the dinners, no, we didn't. We didn't show them that. But I would happily show them that. That's probably the best noise model I've ever seen for a wind project.
One thing on that, and the shadow flicker one, you didn't go through those to where if those people were at the meeting, they would have seen, oh, gosh, I'm in the shadow flicker area or in the certain level of wind area. Kind of a dinner and casual conversation.
Yeah. You know, I understand why you're asking it. I guess maybe I'm a little more dismissive of it because I know our setback standards are so conservative that this just isn't an issue, but I understand it's your position to ask these questions. So, you know, we didn't bring it up at those meetings, and it wasn't simply because we're trying to avoid it. If anything, we should rest upon this because those are very good reports, both of those.
Okay. Do you want to keep going, or do you want me to ask my?
Oh, I'm really almost. I think I've only got one or two more slides.
Okay.
That's probably about it. So, yeah, this is it. So, please go ahead.
Okay. The other question I had was about reclamation, and you guys have a lot of experience nationwide and throughout North America, it sounds like. So this is a great opportunity to kind of talk to you about this. In other places you operate, do you provide financial assurance at the front end for reclamation? Would you be willing to do that? Are you aware of our reclamation kind of requirements after 10 years? And I just like to get your thoughts on that and your plans.
And I guess the answer is it depends where you're at. You know, some areas require some type of a bond up front.
Mm-hmm.
Some areas just have got the language within the ordinance or the state statute that identifies the reclamation. So we just abide by whatever rules are in place. So,
okay.
I guess it really depends where you're at. I mean, that's a really hard question because every single project I've ever been involved with, it's always been different.
Mm-hmm. So. Well, and this is probably different too because you're not going to be the owner long term.
Yeah, we're not. So I'm real hesitant to answer your right. next question of would we be in agreement with it because it really wouldn't be us. It would be Excel.
It's going to be Excel.
Yeah.
Well, we'll. So if we were to include that in this, Jerry, would that requirement then transfer to Excel with the transfer? If we were,
when they assume the site certificate, they have to agree to the terms and conditions of it. And so if that was a term and condition of the site certificate, they'd be bound by it.
Okay.
To make the transfer.
Have you ever reclaimed a site? Has your company?
I've never been involved with it.
No.
Our company, we may have. We're pretty big.
Yeah.
Not that I'm
aware. You've been involved in wind a long time.
Yeah. You know, we're one of the oldest companies in the United States, and we've been doing it for 15 years.
Yeah.
You know, so most projects out there usually have a life of 20 to 25 years. Now, I know a lot of them are being reclaimed in California, but I don't know that we've been involved with it.
Okay.
So even if we're silent on it, there's still a rule to reclaim it that NSP would be bound by.
Right.
So they would have to reclaim it in accordance with that rule.
All right. Let's see. I think that's all my questions.
All right. Commissioner Chrisman, any follow-ups?
One more. I get, you know, that a construction company would get into a business like this and then sell it to an energy company. But I don't know. I can't hardly keep this all straight, you know. So we have Basin Lund and RES Americas and Sequoia Energy and Border Winds Energy before it gets to Northern States Power and XL Energy. What's the necessity of so many moves? At some point, this begins to look like a shell game so that nobody's ultimately responsible for anything if there's ever a problem. I just... explain to me why all these entities needed to have been.
That's a very good question, actually. So Xcel Energy had interest in this project before RES was even involved. And Sequoia Energy has not constructed a project in the United States. We were involved with negotiations with Xcel. We've worked with them. We've built projects for them out in Colorado. They're very familiar with RES. In turn, we were actually brought into this project by Xcel Energy, simply due to the fact that we have a lot more experience.
So Sequoia is sort of like you. They're a company to build and stuff. It's just that they didn't have any experience, so you got kind of brought in to do that job.
Sequoia they're based out of Canada. They had a U.S. entity, and I think they just had this project, and maybe, I don't know, one or two others throughout the United States. Otherwise, they're entirely Canadian. And they are a development company. They're not a construction company. So they'll take a project like this, develop it to a certain point, try to get a power purchase agreement in place, hire a construction company like RES maybe, construct it, and then realize the benefits of the PPA. They typically wouldn't sell it. RES is a bit of a unique company in the fact that we are construction based. Most companies out there, the big ones that you'll hear, the NextEras and the Iberdrolas through the years, they like to develop projects like this, and then they will hire somebody to construct them, and then they'll just sell it in a PPA, right? And then they'll realize that. RES isn't, while we do own like three or four projects around the world, we typically don't own our projects. We'll develop them, we'll construct them. And then we're kind of unique because we work well with utility companies. They're interested in owning them. We're interested in constructing them. We've got a good development arm. So what in this instance, Xcel said, hey, RES, can you help us out with this one? Naturally, we jumped all over it and met with Sequoia, agreed upon a price. And now Xcel's comfortable with RES. They know that we can get it done. So I don't think this is an issue of hiding a ball. It's more of an issue of utility being comfortable with the company that they're going to partner with.
And even though you haven't done one, would your company be the kind of company who would dismantle and clean up a wind farm if it was no longer being used?
Well, we surely could. I mean, we construction projects all over the world, so I'm sure we could easily.
Okay, thank you.
And just to tighten up the record, everything that's agreed to the initial certificate, you're going to be agreeing to as well.
Yes, sir.
So, anything else that may be put on by this commission? Okay.
Just FYI, Sequoia first came to me with this project many years ago.
Yeah, I think what Commissioner Christmas' question is a great one. It's just there's a company that had a desire to get a farm built and they approved, and they got it approved, but they could never close the deal. They weren't big enough, and then that's kind of where this has been stuck at. The community, I would suspect, up there has wanted this for a long time, but they're getting frustrated because I looked at the record. It was October of 2009 when we held the hearing,
yes,
and it didn't get approved until 2011 because of the FAA challenges. So the community is probably getting fatigued up there that this may never actually come. So anyway, okay. Commissioner, anything else? Julie, anything else?
Nope.
Jerry?
Thanks, you guys. No, I'm good.
Okay. Gentlemen, anything we forgot?
Well, the notice of intent to amend the order had three questions. I don't know if you'd like Brad to answer them officially for the record or nope. Okay. No further questions.
Okay. I think, speaking for myself, that as soon as you get all the paperwork in that you've promised to Jerry, then we can get together for a short work session here, and then that'll pretty much set the tone, I think, where we go with this. But going once, going twice? All right, we'll go ahead and close the work session, and we'll start again in 2:25 in our next work session.